One of the most verifiable events in all of history is the flood of Noah. Many people believe that it's a myth, that Noah was a mythical man that never existed. Well, in this seminar, I'm going to give you a very strong defense of Noah's Ark. This is the case for Noah's flood. In the center of the United States, we find hundreds and hundreds of dinosaur graveyards. Each one of these dots that you can see represents a graveyard that contains sometimes hundreds of thousands of fossils. How did a wave from the oceanic coast, hundreds of miles away, make it all the way to the center of the United States to be able to bury hundreds of thousands of dinosaurs with fish, sea life, and crustaceans all together in one event? The only explanation for that is the flood of Noah. Now, if you examine the dinosaur fossils that are found in these graveyards, you'll often find that they died in an asphyxiated position, meaning that they had suffocated to death, and they had to be buried quickly in silt, otherwise they wouldn't have been preserved to begin with. Because remember, to get a fossil, you have to have rapid burial. And within some of these dinos, we find preserved blood cells. The blood cells have been analyzed by certain scientists, and they found that the dinosaurs died from drowning. We also find collagen. Collagen has a half-life of 400 years. Remember, it's the soft material that's within the bones of these organisms. Check this out. It says scientists find collagen inside a 195-million-year-old bone. It says scientists are still trying to figure out how these protein fragments really managed to last so long in the first place. And one of the common things that we find in dinosaur stomachs is grass and ferns. The dinosaurs were buried so quickly that these plants didn't even have time to be digested. We have a dinosaur right here that they call Skippy. It still has its intestines, colon, liver, muscles, and a windpipe. They're not fossilized. They are intact organs. And this is a picture of a mummified nodosaur. It weighs 2,500 pounds and still has intestines. And scientists believe that it was, quote, swept to sea by a flooding river, sank, landed on its back, and pressed into the ocean floor. And one of the common things that we find are clams on the top of Mount Everest, and they're in the closed position. Naturally, when a clam dies, it will open up, the muscle relaxes, and a scavenger comes and eats them. And so when you're at the beach, you'll notice that all of the shells are in two parts. These clams that are on the top of Mount Everest are closed. That means that they were catastrophically buried, and then Mount Everest was pushed up through catastrophic plate tectonics, with the clams contained near the peak. And in the mountains of Peru, we find 11-foot-wide oysters that weigh over 600 pounds. And if you look at them as well, they're also closed, and whatever had buried them had to have been so powerful because they couldn't relax, they couldn't open when they died. They must have been buried by a tremendous amount of sediment. The Bible says 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. Check this out. It says a well-preserved whale fossil has been discovered on a California mountain. The nearly intact fossil of a whale has been unearthed at a construction site in Santa Cruz County. We also find whales that are buried in the vertical position. Check out this article. It says, near Lompoc, California, an 80-foot whale fossil was found in a diatomaceous earth quarry. It was oriented vertically, standing on its tail, passing through millions of years of strata. Supposedly, rock layers on the earth take millions of years to slowly accumulate, and Noah's flood could not have been what put these layers here. Well, if you have a whale, basic common sense will tell you if it's connecting all of these layers, then all of these layers are the same age. Because otherwise, if you had part of the whale getting submerged in these lower layers as they were slowly forming, the top part of the whale would have completely rotted off. It would have been eaten by critters and scavengers. The entire whale was preserved from top to bottom. How does that happen? How does it stand vertically if these layers are supposedly millions of years of different time zones? Gravity would have pulled the whale down flat or on its back. It wouldn't be standing upright if millions of years of geological accumulation of layers was what caused this fossil to come into existence. The flood of Noah was a real event that actually happened. And there is no question about that. And this is why the Bible tells us that in the last days, there will be scoffers, people who mock the Bible, people who mock the flood of Noah and say that it never happened. It says, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." The Bible goes on to say that whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. So the entire world at one point perished because of the flood of Noah. If you're going to assume that rock layers take millions of years to accumulate, that Noah's flood isn't what placed the whale there, then you have to explain how you get a vertical whale fossil that connects millions of years of supposed geologic time. You have to explain that. The burden of proof is on an evolutionist and an atheist to explain why we find these fossils. The only reason that people declare that we descended from slime and from fish is because they're looking at the lower layers of the geologic column and concluding that those are our ancestors, and that this geologic column timescale represents millions of years of slow and gradual accumulation of layers over time. But that is not true. If it were true, you wouldn't even find fossils. In National Geographic, in their section on fossils, they state that for an organism to be fossilized, the remains usually need to be covered by sediment soon after death. Sediment can include the sandy seafloor, lava, and even sticky tar. Once again, to get a fossil, it takes very particular conditions. It's not about time. Many people say it takes thousands of years for fossils to form. That's not true. The organism would rot while it's forming. There's no way that it would take thousands of years to even get one fossil. Fossilization is not about time. It is about conditions. And if you look at these coal seams here, you will find that there's identical amounts of C14 in each of the coal seams. Now, C14 only lasts 50,000 years, max. How is it that each of these coal seams contains an identical amount of C14? What it shows us is that all of these coal seams are the same age, that they all were formed in one event in rapid succession. Coal comes from vegetation that's been smashed together between sediments. And some of these seams are over 100 feet in thickness. To be able to get a coal seam over 100 feet thick, it requires a global cataclysmic condition. It doesn't require millions of years of time to slowly produce coal. Otherwise, you wouldn't have a coal seam this thick. You would have really tiny coal seams all across the world. And one of the more common pieces of evidence that us creationists like to use is polystrata fossils. You can see trees that were catastrophically buried in multiple layers of sediment. Just like the whales that we covered earlier, some of which are found in vertical positions connecting all of these layers of geologic time, we also find trees that go through all of these different layers that connect all of this supposed geologic time. And what it shows is that all of these layers were laid down at the same time. How is a tree going to stand in the ground with sediments slowly forming around it for millions of years? Now, an objection that I've heard to this is that these trees were covered by little local floods. But what they won't mention is that many of these trees are found upside down. Trees do not grow upside down, folks. What obviously happened was the tree was ripped out by a literal earthquake. It floated around in the water for some time and then flipped upside down after that it became waterlogged and it went into the silt. The sediment layers formed around it, and that's what makes the most logical sense when looking at these polystrata fossils. It's not that they were sitting there for millions of years of time or that they got buried in local small events. A tree is an organism just like any other biological organism in nature. It's all biodegradable material, and it will break down over time if not quickly protected. And those layers formed quickly around these trees and were thus able to protect the trees from decay and deterioration. Noah's flood is what caused all of these fossils to come into existence. You have to have rapid burial for these things to even be preserved. There is no question about that. Noah's flood is a fact of geology. It's a fact of history. You can put your faith in it. A lot of people say that you can't trust the Bible or you can't trust the book of Genesis, well, they'll go around saying there's more than two genders. Think about that. You can't trust them to get advanced geology right when they're not even correct about basic biology. They're so clueless about almost everything. God was right. Mankind and the wisdom of men is often very foolish. But God was right, and this shows us that we can trust God when he said that he flooded the world and that he will judge the world in the future. This has to be, in my opinion, one of the best pieces of evidence for Noah's flood. If you look at different mountain ranges, you'll actually see that they are made of bent rocks. What's going to happen if you were to try and bend hard rock? It's going to break it. The only way to be able to bend these layers and make them perfectly bent as you move up is if they're all moist and soft simultaneously. And this could not have been the case if millions of years of slow and gradual geologic change was causing the landscape to morph into these positions. The rocks would have crumbled and shattered and broken. They would have eroded flat by gravity. These mountains wouldn't even exist if millions of years of time existed. And this one is pretty cool because creation scientists tested the chemicals in these rocks. They tested the rocks at the peak and also the rocks at the base and many in between. And they found that the chemical analysis of the rocks came back as being identical. If you're finding the same chemical components in all of these different layers from top to bottom, that means that all of these layers are the same age and that they were laid down in rapid succession during the flood of Noah. Look at this mountain. All throughout it, you see different folds and bends in the layers that cannot be explained by slow and gradual shifts in the Earth's crust. Charles Lyell and Charles Darwin would have had us believe that these layers slowly accumulated and that these rocks would have bent into these positions slowly over time. These mountains would not even exist if evolution were true. They would have eroded flat because of gravity. And something that's similar to a polystrata fossil but not quite the same, but still worth mentioning, is these dinosaur tracks that we're finding that penetrate all of these millions of years of geologic time. The only way to get a track that's preserved is if it's catastrophically buried and then protected. Think about it. If I was to say that there was a track of any animal, we'll use a dinosaur for example since that's what we're looking at right now, and let's say it puts its foot in the ground, makes a track. Okay, well, that's going to get smoothed out over just a few days most likely, or even a few weeks. Rainfall will erode the track away. It will smooth it out. It will make it so that it doesn't exist anymore. These dinosaur tracks, which we're finding in strides because they were running from the flood, were obviously protected quickly by sediments crashing down on top of them and sealing them into place. The way that evolutionists answer this is really laughable because if you look at this photo, this is how they explain tracks that are fossilized. They make it look like the dinosaur was just trying to take a dive into the ocean. Well, even if that were true, what's going to happen from the water hitting those tracks? As the water moves, as the waves hit the shore, and you have the undertow going, it's going to knock out those tracks in less than a day. But according to evolution, it takes at least 10,000 years for a fossil to form. So they expect us to believe that dinosaur tracks in water were lasting underwater for over 10,000 years to be able to be fossilized. And one of the greatest places that we can look at to demonstrate the flood of Noah as being true is the Grand Canyon. Because if you look at the layers of the Grand Canyon, if you were to break them apart, you'll find that there are water ripples connecting some of the layers. They're fossilized trace remains of water ripples shooting through the layers. That means that it was water that laid down certain of these layers at the Grand Canyon. There's very little erosion between the rock layers. Think about it. If you have a layer forming and then for millions of years nature is taking its toll on this land, it's going to erode it. It's going to weather it. It's going to put marks into the land. Well, you don't really find much of that between the layers. What that means is that the layers are all the same age. In the Grand Canyon, we find salamander tracks 15 million years before we find the salamander that made the track. The reason that this is because the salamanders were obviously trying to run up through these sedimentary layers as they were forming, and they were not able to outrun the mud that was coming in and covering them, and they died in the upper layers, not able to outrun the mud. We also find trilobite trails 15 million years before we find the trilobite that actually made the trail. What that shows us is that trilobites were also trying to run up through the mud. They were not able to escape it, and they were all buried catastrophically together as well. And on the UCMP's website for paleontology, they state about the tracks that if these impressions are covered with sediment before being washed away, they become preserved as fossils. One of the common findings that creationists will mention is that we find dinosaur and man tracks in the same layer. If dinosaurs and man lived millions of years apart, and if these layers are millions of years of different ages, you're not going to find a man track and a dinosaur track in the same layer of hard rock. In this layer, you find the dinosaur track on top of the man's footprint. And what I find interesting about this one is if you look at the middle toe of the dinosaur, it shows that it actually stepped over a human footprint that already existed in the mud before this had solidified. While I was in a debate with Dr. Kenny Rhodes from Reasons to Believe, he looked at these fossils and said that it was likely that there was a creature that had a foot that looked like a man's foot. And really, I feel like that's just a denial of the blatantly obvious evidence that we're looking at here. Obviously, we're looking at a man track and a dinosaur track in the same rock. We also find fossilized traces of water ripples, fossilized raindrop prints. I mean, how long are these surface areas going to last before they get smoothed out by nature? Obviously, they had to be sealed quickly in order to be preserved. That's the only way that you get these fossilized remnants of raindrops, tracks, and water ripples. And the Bible tells us that the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And atheists for years have laughed at this. They think that it's absurd that there were 40 days and 40 nights of rainfall during the time of Noah's flood. But if you were to type in, rained for millions of years, here's the first thing that pops up. It says that time that it rained for 2 million years. Atheists believe that it rained for 2 million years. But they will declare that the Bible is false, that God's word is not true because they think it's insane that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. What I'm about to share with you is probably the greatest argument that supports Noah's flood from geology. In the earth, you find gigantic 10-mile-thick pieces of cold rock that have been subducted, parts of the crust of the earth that have been subducted into the hot mantle of the earth. Remember, the mantle is molten rock. Why is there cold rock that has been subducted into the molten mantle of the earth that is not heated up with the other rocks yet? The only way to explain it is that in the recent past, the crust of the earth was broken up, and that plates were moving under one another, and 10-mile-thick pieces of rock got subducted down quickly into Earth's mantle, and they haven't been there long enough to become uniform with the temperature of the rest of the mantle. This means that Noah's flood has been confirmed from geology, that if something like that was to take place right now, that it would shake up the entire planet. We wouldn't be able to survive if this sort of event took place today. And so if these cold rocks are still cold, which they are relative to the surrounding temperature in the mantle, then it means that they have not been there that long. And the only thing that could have put them there was rapid moving of those plates. And the only thing that could have caused rapid moving of those plates was a breaking up of the plates and rapid subduction that was caused by God allowing the earth to be destroyed by a flood. The flood of Noah happened. There's no doubt about it. The evidence is clear. You can either choose to accept or reject it. But I will say that if you doubt the Bible or you doubt the authenticity of the Word of God, just simply look at the evidence. What does the evidence tell us? It shows us that God has proven himself to be correct, that the Bible has proven itself to be true. And if you think about the fact that Noah was warning people, guys, get on the boat before it's too late. He warned people for over 100 years, and people mocked Noah. People made fun of him. They thought he was crazy. They told him he was a lunatic, and they said that they wouldn't have anything to do with the salvation that Noah was offering to them through this boat. God is always right. He's always true. He's unchanging. He has told us in His Word that there's coming a judgment day, and people laugh at us just like they laughed at Noah for telling the truth about the gospel, that Jesus is the only way. It's going to be a very sad day when certain people are literally cast into the lake of fire to pay for their own sins. Let me say, God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. God has offered salvation to every single person that will ever come into existence or that ever has existed. He's offering you an ark, a place of escape, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. But the only way to be saved is by receiving that forgiveness. If you don't receive forgiveness for the wrongdoings that you've done in your life, then you will have to pay for your own sins, and you'll have to endure the torments of hell. The Bible says the smoke of their torment shall ascend up forever and ever. And just as people thought it was funny to mock Noah, many people think that it's funny to mock Jesus and to mock Christians. They take the name of Jesus in vain. God has a gift of everlasting life that He wants to give to you for free. He paid for it. He died on the cross for all of your sins. But He's not going to force you into His presence against your will. You have to make a choice. God said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." He's given everybody an option. You can either accept or reject forgiveness. And if you don't want forgiveness for your sins, then you have to deal with the penalty of those sins for all eternity. Because sin merits an eternal payment. But Christ offers an eternal redemption. Charles Lyell, who invented the geologic column timescale and came up with this idea that all of these layers represent millions of years of time, admitted in his writings that his goal was to free the science of Moses. That is a direct quote. He said that he wanted to get rid of Moses in the Bible. He wanted to take the Bible out of people's thinking. He admitted this. Charles Lyell hated God. That's where Charles Darwin got his ideas from, was from reading Charles Lyell's book. It destroyed Darwin's faith, and Darwin went on to make a bunch of absurd assertions about the origin of life and about our existence. With all this being said, I hope that you enjoyed this video and that it was a blessing to you and that you got something out of it.